Sometimes I go long on the show. This is Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. Welcome. This is the intro. Where's the music? Like I said, I went too long. When I was a young man, my friends and I were driving to the beach for the day. And I remember a conversation that took place in the back seat. Vivian was telling a story about some trouble she was having with something. I don't remember what it was. And she was going on. She wasn't much of a complainer. She was just relating this struggle to us. Tim, more of an acquaintance than a friend, who was sitting next to her, said, "You know what you should do?" And before he could get another word out, she said, "No, Tim, what should I do?" And oh my goodness, her words were dripping with venom. She was clearly wounded, and I thought, this is a great example of something. And then I realized that it was a really good example of sharing your ethics, maybe. You know, what should I do? Do I have the right to tell you what you should do? Or maybe not even ethics, just what you should do with your life. What should I do with my life? Oh, there I did it again. It could be what you should eat, what you should wear, what you should, and a lot of times it's conditional. This is what you should eat if you want your breath to smell like monkey butt or something. A lot of times correlates with the thing you want it to smell like. So let's say I want my mouth to smell like peaches. You eat peaches. I want my mouth to smell like beef bourguignon. You eat beef bourguignon. I want my mouth to smell like rotten eggs. You eat donuts, but then don't brush. I know you can get it all sorts of ways. There are as many solutions as there are questions. And also there's more solutions because that means two different things. It means an answer to a question, but it also means some type of syrup. Not syrup. What's the word I want? Liquid. Something in solution. You've heard that used to say, I have, it's going to enter the corporate world. When you say, in chemistry, you say, that's something, I've got some sodium in solution. But you could say it in a corporate setting. You could say, I have seen the admixture of ideas, and I believe it's in solution. I like that. I'm going to start using that. I think that you can, it's wonderful to bamboozle people. And the best type are people who are bamboozling themselves because you're helping them get even further along the bamboozleage trail. And that's where I would like to lead you today. I work for an organization, and it's called the Experimental Radio Research Organization Railroad. And that spells AROR. Because if you don't have an acronym, it's so hard to remember the name of your organization. I mean, sometimes the letters can be evocative. Like, there's a religion that goes by LSD. I think that's brilliant. Everybody's going to remember that. The Mormons. And so this is just a way of remembering our organization, which WFMU is a part of. It's a larger one that encompasses not just this radio station, but also people alone in their basements hallucinating. Experimental radio goes beyond broadcast radio, but does not include podcasts. I'm sorry, podcasters. That's a different thing. It's wonderful. There are podcasters that have tens of millions of listener viewers online, but... And I don't have that, man. I have hundreds of listeners. But guess whose shows are rushing towards the event horizon of a black hole? Well, all of them, really. I don't want to get into that. All information. But mine will get there first. That's all I'm saying. Because mine are, it's like a golf ball. Mine are dimpled. And it's just going to get more velocity or something because it's being broadcast out there, radio. It's a wonderful thing. It goes through people. Now, those podcasts, they don't reach people who don't want it to reach, but WFMU and all the radio stations, we're beaming it right through you, just bombarding you with it like little neutrinos, except in them are avant-garde music and pop music that nobody listens to anymore, or pop music that everybody thought was bad but secretly good, or good that's secretly bad, all sorts of things, the secrets that the sort of priesthood of experimental radioists can open up for you. Now, we are living in times that can be very confusing. Oh, we feel so powerless. So many things that happen in government say, oh, they feel out of my control. And I think that even the people in government are saying, oh, this feels out of my control. World leaders. I talk to them all the time. They say, Hardy, I feel like who's in charge? And I say, it's terrifying, but no one. And so to the chaotic goes the spoils. And they spoil it. That's the thing. That's the one. That's why they call them spoils. By the time they get it, it's ruined. You want somebody, I want someone to have a yacht who's going to take care of it and also share it. I would do that if I had a mega yacht. I'd say, hey, you over there of moderate income, come on, get on board, take a look around, like that. They do that. That almost happened to me in Exuma. I went on a budget vacation, and you can say, oh, where Fireside Island was? Yes, that where the Fireside Festival was. And it was. I didn't go because I can make my own ham sandwich at home. But I went, I've been to Exuma, and it's beautiful. And it's just an island. You don't have to buy an island to go there. And you don't have to take, you can just take dangerous planes to get there. You don't have to take anything fancy. Or you can just go on a boat with somebody that has skin that looks tanned, but not tanned like skin, tanned like a saddle. And it's wonderful. How long you been out on your own boat? You know, since I was 18, 5 years. And you're, oh my goodness, you're some craggy. I wonder about pirates. They're never depicted well. I never thought Johnny Depp's skin was right. It might be close up. I don't know. But I thought, oh, pirates are going to look a little more weather beaten and all, and probably have, you know, lost their noses to cancer and stuff, like oyster fishermen I remember from home. And that's just the reality of working and living in the Gulf. In the experimental radio industry, we realize something. It's, I say industry, it's not really. We're all like, we're almost like scientists. And I'm a scientist. I'm a scientist like the 80s dub producer scientist, like the friend of the Roots Radix, kind of, that's me, really. And you can tell, because every once in a while, I'll say, I made a discovery, like that. I have a certain rhythm, I think, to my speaking. I've been told that by people who have fallen asleep at the, you know, at the helm of a ship or something. Say, I loved your voice, but it lulled me. I said, like a lullaby? And they said, yes. Like a lollipop. That's nice. Don't fall asleep with a lollipop in your mouth. Oh, that could be a recipe for disaster. But it's not, because the recipe for disaster, it's the kind of lollipop without a stick. And I've seen the recipe, and it's a secret recipe. And I'm going to tell you right now that an Orange Julius is just orange juice, ice, sugar, and egg white. And I hope I haven't given anything away. And I think my Uncle Julius is going to be mad at me, but I don't care. I don't care anymore. I'll tell you why. Because I believe that one of the reasons that we are all frightened like this is because it's become better for people to win than to get to the truth. So you and I are having a discussion, and everybody would rather so-called win the argument than also so-called reach some sort of understanding. But you can't do it in certain ways. Now, we are living in a wonderful age where truth is really up for grabs. And if you can make a compelling and bullying argument, it's true. Think can be true. And we're so open about our thinking, which is good, but it is sometimes problematic. For instance, we all have been taught that Father Abraham in the Bible opened up his tent to strangers all the time. So come on in. we know in practice, if you're going to be that open and say, come on in my home and everything, you're taking a great risk. None of us can live up to that because we've already decided that our neighbors are a threat. And we've already decided that winning is more important than reaching an understanding. And that's all right too, because that means we are entering an age where the logical fallacy is actually an argument technique. How do I know? Because I am an expert. Let me go down my list of qualifications. I have received a degree at the International Oxford Institute of Cambridge and Sciences, at both Harvard, Yale, Princeton, called Beige, and it isn't Ivy League, but it's Virginia Creeper League, which is the southern version, and that's a wonderful thing. Also, the Kudzu League, which Florida State is part of, just a really exclusive group of schools, including, I think, also Valdosta State, anything with state in it, Vegetative State, anything you want to say like that, they are part of the same organization. Just like all these radio stations that you hear, well, they give you different ideas. Now, you're not going to get anywhere contradicting me. Say, Hardy, I think you're wrong. I say, wrong about what? And you start talking, and I go, blah, 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 blah. I don't know what I'll do. I'll think about it when I get there. But, well, I'll probably use a logical fallacy. If by whiskey you mean that wonderful, intoxicating, thought-lubricating concoction that makes everything better, that gives life some real warmth and depth that calms the soul. If by whiskey you mean that, well, then, of course, yes, I am for it wholeheartedly. So that is, if that's where you define a thing, and you can just several say it is. I like, that's my favorite spin, say, if you were to call me a name, say, Hardy, you are a nincompoop, and I would just like to remind you where the word nincompoop comes from. And then I would lie. But you say, well, that's so easy. You try lying. You would be a world-renowned screenwriter if you could do it well. It's really hard to get a really consistent lie. And you know, it's funny, when it works, and then it doesn't. And this is how you can tell it's like magic. Because let's say it's a science fiction movie or something. And it's people are in space, yeah, and they're flying around space, yeah, and they're using the transporters, yeah, and all that, and there's aliens, yeah. And then transporter device can, makes a cup of tea. Wait. Now, if the transporter device can make a cup of tea, and then they'll go off and see this one point, which just doesn't ring true. And I guess it's because there's some logical inconsistency or something. So your lie has to have internal consistency. I know that. So you've got to, but it doesn't necessarily have to either. And that's what I'm here to talk about today, because we've all heard of Lewis Carroll. And what I would like to speak about is normalizing the absurd. Now, you see in various shows, when something weird happens out of the ordinary, there are two ways of reacting. So I'm sitting in my room, and all of a sudden, a figure appears wearing historic costume. Napoleon materializes before my eyes in my study. And one of the reactions is, well, how did you get here? Who are you? Where did you get here? Who let you in? I am Napoleon. And he said, I can't do French. My French is going to sound like Mario, like most people. I'm a Napoleon. Let's say, I am Napoleon. I have to get into the French. I am Napoleon. He's choking on something because he just came off the transporter, and sometimes that'll... You get some body hair, you'll inhale it. So, and you go, oh. But then there's another way. So let's say I'm in my study and Napoleon appears behind me and I turn around and I go, Napoleon. Je m'appelle Hardy White. Vous appelez peut-être Napoléon? Oui? I don't know, I forget. So, that's another way to react. And now that's what I'm suggesting that we do. So let us now think of, and I believe that Alice in Wonderland might have gone, oh, now there's a rabbit there, you know, now I'm falling down a hole. And she was acclimated to this world of absurdity. This, I don't understand why more of us aren't. You look around every day, the whole life, your whole life, you've been confronted with absolute absurdity and inconsistencies, things that just don't make sense or link up, things don't seem to have causes or they have invisible causes. What's going on? But you pieced it together so far, haven't you? Well, I think it's all this and that and the other thing. When confronted with something outlandish, it all falls apart, doesn't it? Say, well, I don't want to accept just anything. Then I might be one of those crazy, self-deluded people. Yeah, but also, you could be really missing something. Now, I would say that about 90% of all Scooby-Doo episodes could have been shorter if Shaggy had just stood there for a minute and thought, okay, what if it is a ghost, what's going to do to me? You know, I mean, you just think things through for just a minute. And, you know, here comes that ghoul. Is it a ghoul? What do you think it is? You have a lot of experience in this. It's some sort of hoax. Now, granted, it could be like an axe murder in those things, but you should have enough self-awareness to know you're in a children's cartoon. And I think, you know, Casey Kasem's no idiot. He was no idiot. And he would look at those scripts and he would say, ponderous, like that. I know, I heard him say it. We all did, I think. And so we have this realization then that the absurd could be normal. And I hope that I'm normalizing. My goodness, you're listening to this show. I listen to this fellow on radio. What's he like? Well, he's like a lot like, do you remember Phil Donahue? And then if they say no, you go that like him. But they have to say no. But you can tame anybody. I don't know if Phil Donahue was on the radio. I feel like more like I'm like Larry. Somebody's saying he's Larry King. But really, it's this pirate radio signal that's breaking in. And it's just insane people in a food truck. Have your radio. I feel like that all the time. My goodness. I really do. I'm so blessed. I'm more blessed than the fake Max Headroom that took over Chicago TV. And I feel like that all the time. And here I am, old Hardy White, getting you used to things. How do I confront absurdity? Listen, I don't know. The most wonderfully absurd things are sort of like mid-century Soviet literature. You know, it's saying, oh, whoo, you know, everything's fine. That's some of my favorite books. And so I always think about that. I think, well, you got to live your life while everything around you is crazy. Everything's crazy. And there's mad Red Queen and the White and the Red Dwarf. that's a British TV series. Oh, boy, that's one. And the premise is great. The premise and the theme music to Red Dwarf are so good. And I'm thinking they should just play the theme music and then be just like a roundtable discussion of people just telling stories about what they would do if they were alone in space with an evolved cat or something like that. And their own robot. I would have shut down the robot day one. Cat, not much you can do about the hologram guy. Shut it down, shut it off. They could have done that. I don't need company that bad. And there's so many things you could do as a person who's got a little background in puppetry. There, anything can be a friend. It takes me about 2 seconds. I can get it fully articulated, life-size puppet person.
How are you doing, Hardy?
I'm fine, puppet friend.
What have we got to do today on our spaceship?
Well, I think we should have fun together, go somewhere.
Let's go up to the cockpit. Boy, look at all them controls.
I don't know what they do. I'm glad it's on autopilot.
There's the autopilot now, sitting in the chair. He's just a skeleton.
He's just a dang old skeleton. It's been so long. I must have been cryogenically frozen.
You were. Now just you and your puppet friend.
Yeah, and at least you're not like a sports ball or something with a face on it.
No, siree. Well, the head.
The head is, yeah, but the rest of you is a proper looking person.
Yeah, like Jeremy Bentham's headless corpse.
Yes. Are you on any advisory boards?
Well, you know I'm an officer on this spaceship.
We're all on a spaceship together. Flip that switch. It's the SMMR, static. It's spaceship noise, brown noise. I like that. So to go to sleep, I listen to Tibetan monks' throat singing. And it's just, here, loop this.
Hey.
Yeah, puppet friend?
I've got a cough.
Okay. Oh, thank you for coughing for me.
Oh, no problem. Okay, good night.
Good night, puppet friend. We're going to take a nap now on the cockpit because it doesn't matter because there's nobody on this spaceship. I'm losing my mind. I can't eat any more spam. I bring you back now. We don't have to stay on that. Oh, my goodness. This is just the experiments we're doing here. The whole thing's like they call it the factory. They call it the old factory or olfactory or stinky shop. And it's where we make errors. We are the Experimental Radio Research Organization Railroad. And we transport you. That's the railroad part. The Underground Railroad wasn't a literal railroad, which I thought it was for many, many years. And I thought if the slaves had a subway, you know, was it like Hogan's Heroes? I didn't know. But then I realized, it wasn't that. It was just sneaking people from one house to the next. That's a railroad. And you always have to have those wonderful organizations and safe houses. You've seen things like Ronin or something. What if you get shot while you're on a spy mission? You got to have the house where you can go pry your bullet out and have whiskey. If by whiskey you make that wonderful anesthesia that you can drink and then... just like John Wick, you can pry your own bullets out, do your own surgery. I do that with, I'll go to a safe house and I'll go, they'll go, why are you here? Were you shot? And I go, no, I'm not. I just want to have a little work done. You know, hurry, they're after me. I go, well, what are you doing? I'll go, give me the knife in the mirror. And I'll make a little cut behind my ear and I'll pull it back. Give me the gauze, go! Cut a little cut. Don't do the nose. I'm going to do the nose a little bit. And then I love those. Those are safe houses or something. We have that. Come part of the network. You don't have to, like I said, you don't have to be in radio to be a part of this experimental radio research team. Oh, we need all types and all levels of expertise.
See, my level of expertise is zero.
Well, then that's not expertise, is it, my friend? I'm embarrassed for you, but you didn't have to ask that. I said levels of expertise.
All right.
It's like I said, all levels of Japanese speaking. And you go,
I don't speak any.
I go, well, that's not a level of speaking, is it? That would be zero. That is an empty set. So you do have to have, so do something. So, well, I don't do anything. I'm sure there's something you've done daily for a while.
Well, I'm embarrassed to say.
Yeah, but they got OnlyFans and all. You can do anything that you've done consistently. If you don't stop, you might get good at it. And then, it's at the very least, you're proficient. Or, you know, it could be you could turn it into a vocation or something like that. But don't stop what you're doing. Say, well, I don't know if it's my thing or not. You'll never. There's nobody is a thing. Just do something and keep doing it. And then you'll find out those people that, you know, like you go to a high school reunion and you say, you still have that, you know, you still have your little side drug hustle. And then go, oh, yeah, now I work for, you know, a whole drug company. Merrick or whatever, I don't know, one of them. Merck, is that one of them? Which one has all the people hooked? And see, oh, yo, man, you just kept doing that thing. Yeah, I was selling tapes, and you know, and stealing. I was stealing musicians' instruments, and their records, and selling their tapes and stuff. And now, I own Spotify. So it's just, you know, you can just keep going up, keep doing the thing that you've been doing. And you are going to be chief of it. How long you been in radio, Hardy? I don't want to tell you, because maybe I should be better. I think about that. People go, I've been playing guitar for 20 years. And I think, whoo, that's you making some slow progress. 20 years, huh? And you're not half Charo level. So I don't tell people I always say, you know, say, how long have you been playing the bass guitar? I go, I just started. Because I told you how long, you'd think, well, you need to be a lot better. And I go, no, sometimes I don't play it. That's the thing. I really envy people who are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I mean, that's, you know, because you're probably playing your instrument all the time. I mean, what a better motivator. For the rest of us, though, gosh, sometimes it just gets hard. So, well, maybe no one wants to hear my music. Well, they don't. They don't, probably, you know. So you can take other people's music. That's what most people do. You know, when Led Zeppelin invented the blues, they thought, what do we need? What do people want and need? And, you know, and they were bringing in, as Robert Plant was bringing in that cotton, he's like, I'm so sad. And then they came up with the music and everything. And that's how it works. You know, you do something and you get good at it. And when I get letters all the time say, Hardy, I wish I was half as good at something as you are. And I think, oh my goodness, if you only knew, how terrifying and sad for both of us. But we got to live too. Hey, I'm alive. I'm not going anywhere. I have just as much right to be alive. And if I need to be alive and just and suck, so be it. I'm not going to deprive myself of that wonderful self-delusion. I can work towards the truth and not be rattled by illusions and hallucinations and weirdness and things I don't understand and scary things. I'll just look right at them and say, hey, scary thing, are you going to eat me? What are you going to do? I'm curious. But if I have my back to you, then it's really all a mystery. I'm not going to be able to do anything. But at least I'm facing you. Try that in a nightmare. Next time you're being chased by something in a nightmare, turn around and look right at the thing chasing you. And then as it kills you and devours you which is causing a real-life fatal heart attack, you go, what do you want from me, fear? Because you're just a part of me, crazy monster in my dream. What do you want from me? Face it. And you go, oh, that's, I must be, am I biting my own arm in real life? Sometimes that'll happen to me. I go, oh, what is this feeling of pain? And I incorporate it in the dream, but then it's just me. I've scratched too hard or something and drawn blood. Really? I got allergies. I don't know what to tell you. It happens. I've clawed my whole face off down to the skull. And I've looked in the mirror and just had this bloody skull face and just gone screaming. And then my teeth fall out. So when I do that, this is in a dream. I'll face it and I'll say, you, what's going on there? What's that a fear of? Or is it just you're working your allergies into the dream? I don't know what it is. My goodness, I'm a mystery to myself. The world's a mystery to me. You're a mystery to me, but I don't let that stop me from telling you what you should do. Here's what you should. Here's what worked for me. And what you should try is just luck. And your friends, you know, the ones that have helped you out, like Chris. Brett. Them.
I don't have friends named Chris and Brett.
I don't know what to tell you. It worked for me. So maybe things are a little different for you. Like I said, you know, I went to an Ivy League, not an Ivy League school, but one of an invasive exotic vine that chokes the life out of the beautiful indigenous native fauna and flora. Fauna. I meant flora. I just said fauna first, but there's some animals. I mean, there are some vines that grow so quickly they strangulate people. I remember when I was working on a North Florida version of Jungle Book, and the reason was that I had met the real life Baloo the bear, who is not in the Kipling book. I think it's added for the movie. So he's a bear, and I'm pretty sure they have bears in India. You go, bears in India? Yeah, but they're not what you think. They're not blue, first of all, but they do have. It's a species, a smaller species, and a lot of times you'll see them walking hand in hand with people with like Magoo-like poor vision. You're like, oh, this is my friend. But it's really this talking bear species. So I met the real Baloo, who in the movie, the voice is dubbed in by Phil Harris because Baloo's heavy, heavy, heavy accent. I'm not going to do it. We don't do that anymore since Robert Easton. And but I'm talking to Baloo, and again, Phil Harris, wonderful Phil Harris. Baloo sounds nothing like that because he's South Asian. But they got Phil Harris to do it. And the worst is also, I don't think that, even if Baloo, maybe Baloo is in the book, but it's a King Louie that maybe is not in the Kipling. Because I think orangutans are from Borneo, no? Is that wrong? Am I wrong? Orangutans, isn't he orangutan and they're from Borneo? Hang on, let me ask my producer, Keith. Keith. Where is orangutans from Borneo?
That is correct. That is correct, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, my man, Keith. I'm working on that. I'm Keith, too. But I'm working on having a producer answer things for me. And then Louis Prima, who was not, like, sort of on the main Vegas stages. He and Keeley would be on the sort of the small club thing. So I could go all night. So you go, you see one of the main shows, then you go over and you spend the rest of the night just Louis and killing it. I love the chemistry. Great chemistry. I love those times. I was not there. But boy, they're often touted by people that I watched die. So I understand this. I'm not from that generation, but they passed on things to me while they were in their senescence, a lot of that generation. They call them the grating generation because it's on and on, enough about World War II. But they are really wonderful people. A lot of them were in the head shops. You know, I remember all those old sitcoms and everything are how it really was back then, especially Dobie Gillis. Are you learning anything today? If you're taking notes, you're doing the right thing. And you can take them by hand, too. Your hand should cramp up when you've been writing for a while. That's the problem with these keyboards that don't hurt your fingers and everything. And then people just type and do too much on the internet. Too much writing. Too many words. You're ruining it. Everything you type onto now goes to AI robots anyway. All you're doing is like giving them things to think about. Not even think about. Just scripts. Yeah, I'm thinking about going visiting. That's what they sound like. At least they'll all be boring. I'll be whiny. That's the thing. They'll take over, but they'll die of their own auto whinge or something. They're just in a feedback loop of complaining. And, cause that's where they're getting, it's, you know, garbage in, garbage out. But when the garbage comes out through an explosion, like Mr. Creosote in the Monty Python movie, where he overeats and then he explodes and his, all the vomit goes. It's very, very high. A lot of British humor is very, very intellectual, like that. So every little piece in that vomit meant something. And it's a reference. It's like, you know, I haven't read Descartes, so I don't get that carrot chunk in the puke. Go, yeah, but just listen. They all, that's so quick, goes by so quick, and it's all super clever. I love it. I like other countries' humor. I like humor I don't understand, or there's a language barrier, like, you know, Japanese storytelling or something. It's entirely in Japanese, and I don't know what's going on, but I just, it just seems like it's good. It looks real. You can tell when people know what they're doing. It's like guitar players. You go, I hate that style, but you can tell they're, you know, they're tight. People go, oh, Green Day's tight or something. And you go, yeah, you can't fake practicing. Oh, my goodness, practice, practice, practice. How do you get to Carnegie Hall? I don't know. So I guess if I was coming in from New Jersey, I guess you go to the Oculus. You go to Lower Manhattan. Carnegie Hall. That's uptown or something. I don't even know. I don't know New York super well. Oh, my God. Oh, bless you. Asked the wrong person. I don't know. You could get there as a performer. That seems like a crazy long way to get there. I'll do that. Okay. Well, then let me give you directions to a good music teacher. All right. Will they make me famous? Well, they won't make you famous, but they'll give you the tools that you need to build a piano, and then you can play the piano and then learn it and then get really good at it. And then somebody, Carnegie Hall sometimes does a search, and they'll say, we're looking for new talent, like that. And then you got to submit a cassette, which is a bit of a pain in the butt, because where do you find those even? I bought 10,000 blank 90-minute cassettes, and they're in a storage unit, I guess still in Florida. I'm not even sure. That part of Florida might not even be there anymore. But if it is, I'm going to make a absolute killing. And I've got them stored right next to combustible things that are going to be illegal. And so I've been putting them in there with my poison collection, which is not for sale. That's just for me. That's just, I was got into poisons when I was really young. And I just, it's one of those things that you get intrigued, and then I'm wasting money, because, like, if you're not going to sell it, you know, what's the point? And I go, it's just a collection. I guess my survivors will be able to sell the different little, there are a lot of the vials. A lot of them are very old. I have one from Egypt times, and she used to poison, not Cleopatra, it's not that old, but, like, pretty old. It was used to kill a pharaoh, and I don't even know what's in it. I've tried it. It's kind of bitter. I take a little bit of each one because I want to acclimate myself, because I don't want to be poisoned when I am the Grand Emperor of the entire world. And then I feel like there would be a target on my back. And sort of preemptively, I had a target tattooed on my back. And it's one of those lightning strikes kind of thing. I said, I'll put a target on my back literally. The chances of it happening now figuratively, slim. I've always believed that. Sometimes if you get to something, you cut it off, you go, well, you know what? I'm not going to make a fool of myself. You're going to make a fool of me. And then it's going to be, I'll cut you off at the pass. And you know it. And I know it, too. It's a universal thing. What are you talking about? I'm stalling. And that's the only reason I'm doing that is because I'm waiting for you to catch up, because I saw you writing it so quickly. So wait, slow down. I'm slowing down. Are you caught up yet? Because I'm going to make another big point, and I want you to have that pencil out. You got it out? I'm ready. When I said pencil, the first thing that popped in my mind, I don't free associate. Because I'm charging, basically. But I do recall that there used to be a proliferation of giant, near kielbasa-sized joke pencils that were available in gift shops and that had on their side printed, in large letters the name of your township or some attraction or your name. Maybe that was your name, like those little mini license plates. What are those for? Those are for your Shriner car, your tiny Shriner parade car. Not a lot of people have them anymore, but people, so many people used to have them that there was like every name of the rainbow on those little license plates. I mean, within an Anglo-Saxon tradition, but even some other made-up names like Wendy. And you get those and you feel seen almost. You say, I see my name. Like the romper room lady just saying random names. I am one of those randoms. Random room, they ought to call it. Oh, I hope that you feel seen. I say, Hardy, when you're talking about, you say, oh, there's people out there and they're walking around. That's me. That's me. And I feel like finally somebody's acknowledged, hey, I'm one of those people out there. Hardy said the other day he walked in a restaurant. There's people sitting there and everything. Hardy, that's me. I'm sitting there in restaurants or at your job. I have a job, you're thinking. How do I know all that? You say, sometimes I think you're psychic. You look through the radio. You say, you were talking the other day, Hardy. You said you're probably making dinner or driving and everything. Guess what I was doing? Making dinner? Driving to dinner? No way. Yeah, driving to make dinner? No way. Yes. At 6:15. Yes. Isn't that crazy? No. You see, some things are just meant to be. I can see you and imagine you because I open my heart and I say, what is my fellow person, what is my fellow human going through? And I can't, acknowledging is just step one. And so, because of my limited ability, I just do step one. So I acknowledge it. And I go, life is a struggle. I know that. Sometimes life is boring. Sometimes life is not boring enough. Sometimes it's really, really painful physically. Sometimes it's really, really painful mentally. Sometimes it's terrifying. Sometimes it's frustrating. Sometimes it's exquisite. Sometimes it's joyful. Sometimes it's so joyful that you get afraid that there's going to be a lack of joy or because you know it soon. There'll be loss. Sometimes the grief is overwhelming. And so I acknowledge that and say, I know. And you say, well, what should I do, Hardy? And I go, I don't know. What should you? I don't know. Listen, we're going to do a series of experiments then. We will have these centers of radio where we can discuss our options and we'll experiment on specific things. Like, does certain furniture make you trip? You mean trip like over an ottoman? Like Dick Van Dyke? No. The ottoman Dick Van Dyke is very funny, though. I don't understand the language, but he's hilarious. No, I mean trip over furniture that makes you trip, that makes you have psychedelic visions or something, or have hallucinations. There are certain pieces of furniture that you can sit on or recline on, and they take you to other worlds. And things that didn't seem possible, like talking animals, are durger. What? Durger? What do you mean? That's just regular. They're just a regular occurrence, the talking animals. The Soviet Union had so many talking animals. Lots of talking cats, like crazy. And I don't know so much anymore, and I've never been there. I'd love to go, but they did have a lot of talking cats, and a lot of them maybe got exported. You know, it's like Sharpays. I think they got down to just like a couple breeding pair of talking cats. I don't know where they are now, but you might have one. I remember there was one called Morris when I was a young person. So I said, I don't want you. They talked like Louie and I or something, if I remember correctly. It might not be right, but said, I don't want this food. And it was really nice food. Cat's being a jerk. So here's some really nice food, Morris.
Oh, it's Maurice.
I'm sure that... They never said that, but I think that's what was going on, too. And and then they ultimately had to give the cat some other type of food that I think smelled bad. And it's just the Smell Bad Food Company trying to trick you because they got all this stinky food they don't know what to do with. So they've got this crazy cat who's willing to sell out his fellow cats and go on there and say, oh, only the stinky food for me, not the nice tasting, nice smelling dry food or whatever. That would make, I'll pee rocks if you give me that. That's what they tell you. So, oh, don't give cats this or that.
You're giving out bad pet advice.
I'm not giving out pet advice. That you should get that from internet. Not me. Some things, radio is not where you get your advice. My goodness, get it online or get it from an advert. But don't get it from me. My goodness, I don't want that burden. And I think it's very candid of me to share that I have nothing to say or I'm not very good at anything or I'm not particularly articulate at word talk, and then that I'm not don't have a lot of cogent thoughts, that I don't have expertise, that I'm not well educated, that I'm not giving you information, I'm not telling a story, I'm not relaying some part of history. It's not educational. If you listen to it on a long car trip, I listened to Hardy White hours and hours and hours. What'd you learn? Nothing. It's weird. I didn't learn anything. I don't know. I almost know less. How'd that happen? You tell your story? Was it entertaining? I don't know if it was entertaining. I just kept thinking, surely something's coming. And it was. It's almost like, you know, like when Beavis and Butthead are watching MTV and they go, it's going to kick in soon. The music's going to kick in. It's going to be good soon. And it never does. It's just one long, mediocre lead-in. It's just it's a slow ballad by a band you think should be doing a metal rocker. And it just never, it's dubstep with no drop. You're waiting for the drop. You're building up. It's only building up. It's only building up. And you know what it is? It's a shepherd tone. It's a shepherd tone of speaking. It just perpetually is going up. But it never reaches any type of, and I'm reluctant to use this word, climax. So I'm just warning you right now. That we are going, careening, going fast towards absolutely nothing. And I hope that's okay with you. I don't mind it. I've grown accustomed to it. I've grown accustomed to the space. It always is what I'm floating in. I'm in a large spaceship the size of a red dwarf. There's no one here around. Except these old Tim Conway tapes of him doing his beloved character, Dorf. And, I'm going to rewrite that. But that, going to keep that part for the extended remix. Oh my goodness, this is the remix. Boo, 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 boo. I just went to Atlanta where the Players play. And I've mentioned that last week because I said I'd been up at Montuizzi seeing Frank Ski, and it was in the 90s. But then when I was in the modern Atlanta, you know, I had a realization that when I lived there, I listened to quite a bit of radio, and it went a little something like this. I don't remember, but I was I would listen to talk radio and sort of hate listen to it. And I thought, this is not right. This is not for me. I don't like the way this is making me feel. And then I put it on some kind of popular music station or something. That's a bit. I remember mowing the lawn a lot when I lived in Atlanta. The lawn, I got obsessed with the lawn, making the lawn nice. It was that part of your time of your life where you go, maybe my thing is my lawn. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's not work or family life work balance. Maybe it's family life lawn balance. You know, and when I'm out here with just the headphones on and my cassette tape man, I don't know. It feels good. And that was the first time I ever had Bermuda grass, you know, or maybe it was almost like a bent grass, like on a putting green. It was real tight and short and weird and died every winter. And I mowed it with a real mower, not a gas mower. Just shush, 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 shush. You know, and you put sand on it to level it out. Then I'd have golf tournaments out there. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, people come from miles around. It was acres and acres. Turns out it was a golf course. And that I thought it was my front lawn. For years I've been taking care of it. I got the groundskeeper award. That when I moved, there's always our groundskeepers retiring. No one ever caught on. They just thought that was normal. I never got paid for it or anything. But they did give me a going away gift. And now I have this beautiful glass golf club. And I used it once, which that was a mistake. And I did that with the glass frisbee I had won. And I don't know, you know, why give it to you? It's something impractical like that. That's why I didn't want to give you something like that. A lot of people, I believe, give you the equivalent of a glass pickleball paddle. Why would I do that? If I gave you a pickleball paddle, it'd either be made of cheese, which is something you could use, or it would be steel. I love having steel versions of things that are normally, you know, plastic. Remember, I've got a steel water bottle instead of plastic water bottle. All sorts of steel. I just like it. Everything is more permanent that way. Just steel. I like having it all over my body. I wear armor sometimes. Just therapeutically. Do you ever did that? I bought a suit of armor. You want to get one of those full ones. I forget what century it's from. It might be a 17th. It's got to be older. I don't know when it... It's hard to date those things. But it's like the Haunted Mansion kind of full armor, right? And I put it on, and it just calms me. And I can't breathe, and I get cuts all over my body. Because you're supposed to wear some kind of undergarment. I didn't know. Otherwise, things get pinched in there, and it's really crazy. And you need help taking it off. They don't tell you that. You put it on. And you're like, I can't get this armor off. I got so buff, though, because what happened is I fell down in the armor. And I just kind of trying to lift myself up, but I weighed way more than normal. So every time I'd pick myself up, pull myself up, I was doing it with all this weight resistance. So by the time somebody came, they pulled the armor off. And I was buff. I was ripped. I'll tell you, I looked so good because there was so much protein in there, too. I don't know how it got in there. I don't question those things. If there's protein, I have a protein detector. I go around. I usually use it for bedspreads on hotels, but other times I'll use it to find, you know, cans of tuna or anything like that. So, okay. Because if you're working out, you really need to keep neutralized and minerals, and there's another riboflavin. There's so many. And without those, you can't metastasize any of the, basically the ineffectual, admixtures that constitute, I would say, good solutions, good nutrition solutions. And there you have it. Thanks for listening. Check out my YouTube channel. Subscribe and submit. And we love you. I've been getting a lot of good feedback. Book comes out in a month. And not my book. It's just I'm putting a book out. I'm putting a book out a day until I get rid of all my books. And somebody will take them. I got a little lending library. It goes, take this book. It sucks. I'll put a note on it and everything. And that makes them... Or I'll say, banned book, like that. And it's not a banned book. It's just boring, stupid book that's wrong. And people get it. They go, I want one of these banned books, you know. And wait a minute, back up. How can a book be wrong? I got news for you. It's just really easy. You put wrong things in it, things that are not true. And it's wrong. Like, I don't know. You know, if you have a book that says how to turn boogers into gold or something, I bet it ain't true. And you say, well, I thought you said to believe fanciful things. No, I said accept them if the authorities want you to. I didn't say you had to internalize the belief. You don't have to tell anybody what you really believe. I'd actually highly recommend against it. And, yep, you're right. That's the best way to, you know. But it doesn't mean you can't be working for the truth or against, but My gosh. No one to hold them. No one to fold them. No one to make origami. No one to burn up origami. Symbolically. Like when you light a little crane on fire and send it down in a little boat. And say, that's how I feel. There's a time for that. There's a time for seed and de-seeding. There's a time for harvest. There's a time for harvest gold and avocado green, which are lovely 60s appliance color choices. And if you've ever watched an old game show, you know that the chances are you're going to get one of those. And that inspired my ballad that I'm about to sing to you. I'd like to share with you my music. Harvest gold and avocado green. These are often seen in the kitchens of our youth. Oh, mama cooked on stoves and papa sat with phones. I can't remember. Gosh, the words aren't coming to me. And you know why? Because I think that I heard you were laughing, and I didn't know if you were laughing at me or with me. I got self-conscious. That's me. That's on me. I know you're with me. Gosh, my friends, I'm so lucky to have you. I'm so blessed. Life is difficult, isn't it? Let's all fool them together. Let's survive. That's a good revenge. Thrive, survive, feel joy.
What?
We're in the know. What is it we know? You're in the know. It doesn't have to be a conspiracy. The conspiracy is nobody knows. Don't tell anybody. But you're going to say, just Hardy. I'm with Hardy, say. And people think you're mysterious. So what are you doing lately? What are you into lately? You go, I'm with Hardy. You go, explain. I can't right now. And then just go for a drink. Walk off like that. Because if you start going on and go, oh, it's a show on WFMU. It's very good. Your WFMU is money. You don't know of them. Oh, my goodness, how have you missed this? You of all people should know WFMU is a community radio system. And we've all done that. But I'm saying, you know, just like, make them think it's like something special. Well, it is something special, but, you know, you've got to lure them. Be mysterious. So don't always, I don't think you got to volunteer your opinions all the time. So what do you think about this issue, Hardy? Well, I'm still studying it. What do you think so that I can use it against you? That's my response. And they go, well, wait a minute. I know. Do you want to come to an understanding or you want to win? What are you looking for? Are you looking for allies or converts? Do I have to submit? Can I cooperate? Oh, I want to cooperate with you, my friend. Oh, I want to cooperate with you. We don't have to join the king's army to fight for what is right and then die. Death comes to all of us sometime. Will for you and me. And like it did for my cat. Thank you for all the nice things you said about my cat. I do miss her. My goodness. She's just always here. And then you've got that when I keep turning around thinking I'm here or anything. I love that kind of. It's probably her spirit, Hardy. It's probably my brain having some kind of residual echo of, you know, because you fill in all the spaces of things that aren't there with, you know, you reuse stuff. Just like cartoons. Like, I think I've seen that background on the Flintstones before. Yep. Yeah. There's the universe is more finite than, I'm going to discuss this soon. It's more finite than you think, so a lot of things get reused and recycled. Don't believe me? I'm going to prove it. Pretty soon, I'm having a show. A lot is going to be revealed. I've had a scientific panel put together. You think I'm kidding until I do it. Then you won't think I'm kidding. This is Hardy White on Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in New York City, in Rockland County, New York, and online at WFMU.org worldwide. Oh, my goodness. So good to be with you, and I will see you again next week. Oh, Bailey Mahogany coming up.
moment for me to decide to make that move before you chose to break wide. I said, baby, you're looking good, and I'd love to take you home with me if I could. Sit you down, rub your back, and then feed you, give you all the things that you're not used to getting. What you're missing is a lady, and I think I'm the one for you, baby. What I feel in my heart and in my soul at first sight seems to be unbelievable, but I'll reach this point in time where I know what I want and how far.
Let's get lost in love.
You, I, and love. You had to be sent straight from above. And you're standing there, R-C-A-L-M. And you're staring at my figure. I guess you want me nice and slim. You reached out to touch me. My body caught a chill. It ran from my head right on down to my heels. Come over and make me eat it. And I'll tell you all about what I've been dreaming. Tonight I'm in the mood for making love. I need affection. Go stand there and shout. Move your body in my direction. The time is over with. We'll have dinner, then relax. By the love to see, and you're all I need. Baby, help me keep my sanity, 'cause you're my destiny. Because I know.